that he's doing with Diversitas. I really, really believe you're going to enjoy this conversation. And if you're looking to learn more about Diversitas and some of the things he mentions in this conversation, make sure you visit their website at www.diversitasfp.org. That's diversitasfp.org. And make sure you sign up for the newsletter. As always, I'd really appreciate if you took some time to like, share, or leave a review for this podcast. That would really help, and I'd really appreciate you for it. Now let's get to the conversation. Welcome to another episode of Conversations for Financial Professionals. And today we have a very special guest, Dr. Barry Mulholland. You are currently the director of the Financial Planning Program and the Associate Professor of Practice in the Department of Finance, the College of Business at the University of Akron. The program is a registered CFP Board of Standards CFP program. You oversee program development, financial planning, industry relationships. You assist with student recruitment. You advise the industry-affiliated student organization also. Your teaching includes personal finance, corporate finance, financial planning fundamentals, and the financial planning capstone course. Love that capstone. Yes. You have led efforts to make financial planning technology available to universities. Your research also includes the use of financial planning technology and life insurance consumer behavior. You are the founder of Diversitas. Want to get into that. Expanding Diversity in Wealth Management, a symposium that brings industry professionals together with career influencers and high school and university students to discuss why and how the wealth management industry and financial planning profession can become more inclusive. Love that. You are also a member of the recipient class of the Think Advisor Luminaries 2021 Award for Diversity and Inclusion Programs, a 2022 finalist for the Investment News Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Diversity Champions Award, and a 2022 RIA Intel Awards Industry Advocate of the Year finalist. Welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
Yeah. I'm so glad that we got a chance to connect. We connected earlier and found that we have another bald-headed gentleman between us as a mutual connection. So shout out to the great Dr. Preston Cherry over there in the other side of the U.S. there. And I guess yes. By the time this airs, it's going to be probably snow on the ground.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah. And he's actually in my home. He's near my hometown. I lived in Green Bay for many years. So I'm excited that he's up there and he's doing an incredible job. So,
yes.
Yeah. Big shout out to Preston.
Yeah. So this topic here, I reached out to you and you were so gracious to accept the invitation. The arc and the theme of season 7 was really kind of looking at the financial profession from the lens of this aspiring financial professional, but wanting to get perspective from the members of academia, colleagues in academia that are teaching this stuff, that are seeing the pipeline, you know, ground floor, if you will, kind of grassroots. And so really, really looking forward to this conversation about guiding the next generation of financial planners. You mentioned a little bit of your roots on the other side of the U.S. Maybe give us a brief story or synopsis of how you found yourself in this profession of financial planning.
Oh, sure. I guess it's kind of that long roundabout because I'm a career changer into the industry.
Love it.
Term that we used to use a lot. We still use a lot. It's still an important avenue for folks coming into the industry. But my undergraduate work was mechanical engineering. I worked in production management. That's why I lived up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I worked for Procter & Gamble in their paper mill up there. And so I had that experience through my foster parents. I grew up in a foster home. So I come from that, you know, some pretty low income roots. Ended up in a foster home. Fortunately, I had a very middle class foster family. They kind of introduced me to some of the early things around financial literacy. So I got to observe them doing things. As I became an engineer, it was actually when I moved back to Wisconsin after living around the country to work for Procter & Gamble there, they introduced me to their financial advisor who became my financial advisor.
Wow.
And so that was my first experience in my mid-20s. Working with a financial advisor was interesting. But again, I was an engineer and then I went into sales. And it was just kind of a transition of things. And it just happened I had switched industries became a professional recruiter, had a business with that. Great business. Partnership wasn't so successful. I had sold out of my business with my partner. And the very next day, my financial advisor called me to find out what was going on. And when we talked about it, he said, "Great, you're coming to work for me." And I said,
"Really?
No."
Okay.
Yeah, it was literally that. He said, "Good, you're going to come to work for me." And I'm like, "I don't want to sell insurance. I don't want to sell investments. That's not what I want to do." And he's like, "No, it's way more. You come sit down with me. Let's talk about what this really is."
Yeah.
And it took him about 4 months, but he convinced me to make that transition.
Wow.
And being an entrepreneur, it kind of locked in with me that there was some entrepreneurial piece there. But what really connected with me is I'm a people person. I love working with folks, but I really love helping folks.
Yeah.
And that was the piece that he kept coming back to is, hey, you get to help people realize their goals, their dreams. You get to help them work through that. You get paid to do it. It's not a bad thing. And so that's where my transition came. And that was over 20 years ago, almost 25 years ago that occurred. And so I've been through this for a while, but I did that, was loving what I was doing, happened to have made some good connections in my MBA program when I did that, because again, I'm an engineer. I didn't know about business, so I did my MBA. Turned out that my MBA program up in Wisconsin where I was at was wanting to do something around financial planning or financial literacy for their students. So the dean invited me to come in and teach a course, create and teach a course on financial planning for individuals as a college course. And that really is what started me down this next career path into academia. And so what started out as a primary one course deal all of a sudden became, hey, you could teach finance for us, you could do other things. It became a full-time opportunity. And that opportunity just kept growing. More exciting things came along. And I started down the path of becoming a CFP. So I was learning and then applying it to the students in the classroom, still working with some clients as an advisor. So again, this kind of, it just kept building on itself.
Yeah.
Really did some personal work to kind of look at, what do I really want to be doing? And it was amazing that everything pointed back to that my real core being is a teacher.
Wow.
And so I had found my spot and didn't realize I had found it, but that really solidified that I love financial planning, I love teaching, and I get to put both of them together.
Wow.
And so I got to continue down that career path. Through that, I met some great folks in the industry. They encouraged me to come to conferences. At conferences, I met folks at Texas Tech University who had the first PhD program in financial planning. They said, hey, you're teaching this stuff. Why don't you come get a PhD? I said, man, I'm too old. I can't do that. And they're like, no, you can do this. And so 14, 15 years ago, I went back to college, packed up my wife. We took a couple of years off, headed to West Texas, and I worked on a PhD.
That's crazy.
It was just insane. And then in the meantime, the program I had been running, there was a change in leadership. They didn't see the vision, so they actually ended the program while I was away. And I said, okay, that opens up some opportunities elsewhere in my life. And so it just happened. Texas Tech had an opening for a faculty member as I was finishing my PhD. So I was able to stay on, worked with them for a while. My joy was in the entrepreneurial piece of it. And so 6 years ago, an opportunity presented itself at Akron to come in and take a program that's been around for a long time, but that had really just been a small program, and really do something with it. The industry, the local industry, incredibly supportive. They just really wanted to say, what can we do this with this? How can we grow this? And so for the last 6 years, we've just had a blast. We're doing some things. We've grown by over 50%. In enrollment. We're still looking to even double that over the next 5 years. So we've got some great ideas. The industry connections I had developed led to us creating Diversitas, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that. So again, it's just these things just kept kind of building on themselves.
Yeah.
And just gave me a great opportunity. It's been a great career.
It's so funny you say all that. I'm just listening to your story and the arc and the, you know, all this. Not too many peaks or not too many valleys from what you tell. But I know that every story has its peaks and valleys.
There's a few valleys in there.
Yeah, I was, but it reminds me of a conversation I was having with Hannah Moore about this, and she was saying, and your story identifies this or articulates this so beautifully, is that it's not linear. It's not a linear path. It's more of a laddered. Or lateral is the term she used, lateral directions that we do in our career. We'll have an idea about something and it'll make sense and we'll go down that path and be like, okay, it makes a little bit more sense, and you travel down it. And what I try to tell career changers and aspiring financial professionals so many times is that it's okay to not see, you know, if we got, let's say, a 100-step journey, for you to not see step 50 through 100. It's okay. Like, you know,
right.
Most people go through this career like that. You know, this is one of those zigzag around, oh, I found something over here, let me go do this. And that's totally okay. And I think having you say that and articulate the way that it, the way your path went about, and for somebody to see you where you are now, maybe that will give them license to kind of like, you know, let's say live without their means in a dream state, right? If you know, not putting limiting barriers on what their career could possibly be, if they have these ideas like, oh, I've never seen anyone do it like that. So, you know, just hopefully they do feel empowered by that. I thank you for sharing that. What
you're welcome.
Talk about the programs. Growth at Akron, because I know, so there's a lot of, you come from a pretty, let's call it, well-known, pedigreed, established program in Texas mm-hmm. Tech, in mm-hmm. academia, as well as in industry, right? People mm-hmm. flock to West Texas to recruit.
Yes.
Talk about the differences in that versus what you're doing at Akron. Much smaller school, obviously, program mm-hmm. smaller, probably not the same budget and all that kind of stuff, but probably seeing some of the same ilk of people. So maybe if you can talk about that a little bit.
Sure. You know, it's certainly a timing thing. You know, when Texas Tech started their program back in the late 80s, we, you know, and you go back, and a great person to talk to about that at some point is Bill Gustafson, Dr. Bill Gustafson, who started the program there. And he went through the same things that I'm kind of going through in this time frame that I've been with Akron of, you know, it's an idea, not everybody's bought into it yet. And how do we keep just moving forward? You know, getting those core supporters that really see the vision or help to create that vision, and then give you the resources that you need to be able to move it forward. And I think that's one of the things that Texas Tech had when Bill started it. That's one of the things our program had 25 years ago in Akron when it started it. And we've had a consistent supporter from industry who's gathered others and brought them in. Mm. You know, when I made the transition to Akron, or when they were recruiting me, they were like, hey, you know, if you came in here, how would you make us nationally known? Was the question in one of the questions in my interview. And it's actually Larry Ripka, the CEO of Valmark Financial Group, who loves to tell that story of, he asked that question, what would you do to make us nationally known? And I went, what do you mean? You're already nationally known. Your students, your small program students, are beating the top programs in the country mm-hmm. in competitions. What I'm hearing is you're not locally known. Mm-hmm. How many people in Northeast Ohio, how many people in Ohio have heard of the University of Akron's program? And it was amazing that none. It's to this day, 6 years later, there's still people I talk to and they're like, you've got a program in Akron? Mm. We're ranked 11th nationally. Yes, we've got a good program in Akron. And so sometimes I think that's part of it. It's there wasn't the marketing. We had good industry support, not necessarily good. The leaders of the college for a number of years didn't see the vision. When I came on board, we had a visionary dean and we had a visionary department chair and support from the industry. And those are things that are important to move these programs forward. Now that we're more established, now that we're better known, now people are willing to trust us to do other things. Like, we started our diversity program as part of helping to enhance our program, try to improve our own diversity. And when we took it national, people saw that we had done some things and they trusted us to work with that. They're trusting us to continue to expand this and grow it. And so those are going to be certainly things that were important for us to be able to move the program in the direction that we have.
Okay, real quick. Have you had trouble finding resources during your journey to become a financial professional? I mean, have you wondered, is there somewhere I can just find all the information and, you know, the inside scoop that I need? If you've been wondering how to avoid all the pitfalls of bad advice, including wasted time and money, I want to invite you to join us in the Jumpstart community. What is the Jumpstart community, Dominic? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's a place where we're bringing together like-minded individuals who are dedicated not only to finding their place in financial services, but actually growing their careers and striving for greatness so that together we can change lives and become the superheroes of the financial services industry. Look, I know that's a big ask, but if that sounds like something you'd be interested in, then make sure you visit us at www.jumpstartcoachinglab.com. That's www.jumpstartcoachinglab.com, and we'd love to have you. Okay, now let's get back to the conversation. Talk about the differences, because I know there's probably career changers, aspiring financial professionals that are listening to this, and you know, they, you know, for that person that's, let's call it, on their second career, you know, maybe mid-30s, and they're driving, they're like, you know, I really love like money management and budgeting and stuff like this, and there's just like no way that I can make the time to, you know, go back to school or go back to classes and all that kind of stuff. I'm wondering what major obstacles do you see, or some of the maybe things that come up when you're looking at the non-traditional student versus the traditional student? I know you've seen both sides, having worked in the Texas Tech program too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the program we started at University of Wisconsin Oshkosh a bunch of years ago was focused on career changers and industry professionals. You know, certainly it is a lifestyle disruption.
Kind word.
Is a kind way of saying it, but it is that idea that, you know, depending on how you want to approach it, there's going to be a lifestyle disruption that you're going to have to come to grips with. And I think that's a lot of times the big piece of it.
Yeah.
It's either I'm going to do this part time and just realize it's going to take me a long period of time. This might be a 5-year commitment to get the educational knowledge that you need to maybe make that transition. Or you do the let's jump off the cliff. Hopefully it's not a long drop. I don't hurt myself, but it's I go back to school and I just take 2 years and I get it done. Or maybe I find one of the accelerated programs, one of the online programs, maybe I can do it in 10 months. Hmm. It's being willing to bite that bullet, but it's an intense time. So it's, what is the trade-off? Do I do short-term? Do I do a little bit longer-term? Or do I work my way up through an organization? I've got a young woman that's doing our non-traditional approach. She came from outside the industry. She went and actually got a job at a financial planning firm as an administrative person, as a way to get in the door. Yeah, she's making administrative pay, but she's exposed to all of this. She's showing a passion for it. She's clearly developed an understanding of what's all involved, and it's driven her passion. And she also recruited a mentor from the industry to help her understand that. So her plan was, I'm going to work my way into this, because she's a single mother with children. She needs to support them, but she's got a vision. And so, again, there's different ways of getting there. In order to do that. And so she's going to be able to move herself to the spot that she wants to be. And then with that, there is certainly a lot more money available now in the industry for scholarships. And, you know, a person like that, if they come to us and say, is there any kind of financial support, a good story like that, it's possible. And the industry wants to support people like that coming into the industry. So again, it's developing those relationships, and it's choosing what path works best for you. I think part of it too, you know, I came into the industry 25 years ago. There were the path in was career changer, and you either came in through an insurance sales job or an investment sales job.
Yep.
Now there's so many more paths. And that's the other thing you've got to think about. Client-facing is great, but and firms, there's still a lot of firms that want people to come in and kind of start down that path because they want them generating revenue for the firm already. But my sense is that the, you know, again, working with firms and talking with them, they're more accepting of a more traditional path of those first couple of years are not going to be high revenue generating for the firm, but it's setting the stage for potentially long-term relationships that could be even more fruitful for the company down the road.
Yeah.
And so again, it's taking the time to kind of look at what you can handle, you know, for maybe you've got a partner who can support you for those couple of years going back to school. That makes a difference. If you're on your own, it's a different story. But again, it's trying to look at these different options that probably play out that way.
No, you say something that reminds me of a conversation I had with Anjali Jariwala, who basically had the same type of path in that, you know, her and her husband were professionals and she didn't want to stay where she was doing, staying where she was doing. And they, you know, key word here, plan. They planned and said, hey, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to take the pay cut here and you're going to carry the load. And then I'm going to go back and do the transition. And now she's got a thriving firm that's growing. And, you know, I think you're right. It's, you know, probably doesn't really matter what path you take, but as long as you do have a plan and a vision for what you're trying to do. You said something that I want to touch on, because although that part, if you're sitting in your car and you're driving now, you're thinking about, you know, programs that you've heard about on the news and where you're going to go back and if you're going to do online or if you're going to do in classroom, blah, 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 blah. You might be like, man, that's such a long path. But at some point, that's going to be over. The education part's going to be over. You're going to pass the exam on the first try. And yes. What's going to happen is you're going to be faced with who's going to hire me? How am I going to get to start using this knowledge? How am I going to start serving people with what I learned? And I wonder if you know, in this kind of portion of our conversation, we're kind of talking about the practical advice. What are you telling students? What are you seeing that they're doing right now to bridge that gap between, okay, I've learned all this stuff in theory and now it's time to put it to practice. How do I find that ideal opportunity for me?
Depending on what the path is that you've chosen, internships. And there's a lot of internships. Most of our, in fact, all of our students can have an internship if they want it. And they pay reasonable. I mean, most, I think the lowest starting wage I hear right now for students, interns, and they're working 20, 25 hours a week, is they're making $14 or $15 an hour starting, and others are earning more than that. So they're getting practical experience. They're getting exposure to the industry while they're also earning some income to be able to support themselves going to college. So I think that's one of the things that folks can do is to start to look at, where can I pick up some practical experience? Where can I start to make that connection, if you will? So that would certainly be a part of it. But again, it's kind of tied to what is the path that you're taking. That fits well for those that are going to maybe take a couple of years to go through that. Again, for the person who's going to do this on their own part-time and career change 5 years from now, because they're maybe locked into a career that they're in now that they eventually want to transition out of, that may not be the case. So in that case, it's going to be looking for maybe volunteer opportunities. Maybe get that basic, how do you do budgeting? What's some basic investment knowledge? And then finding organizations that may be offering free financial advice or free financial support. In our area in Ohio, our United Way for Summit and Medina counties where we're located, they have a financial empowerment center. And they serve low-income folks. They can come in, and if there's any fees involved, it's based on their financial ability to pay. They're always looking for volunteers,
yeah.
Somebody to come in and sit down and help somebody to work through their budget. And so there's ways that you can pick up some of that practical experience and test whether this is really something you're interested in. The financial planning, a lot of our financial planning programs, we might have days like that where we'll put on a clinic for a community or in partnership with like the FPA or with the Society of Financial Service Professionals. So look for those opportunities. Volunteer, offer yourself. They're always looking for help. So there are ways that to do that. Even maybe go back to your church or your synagogue or, you know, your mosque. If they offer some kind of financial literacy program for their members, offer to help.
Yeah.
Just to get a feel for that, to do things like that in your community, in the communities that you're part of. So I think those are all ways in which you can start to get a little bit of experience to get a sense of, is this what I want to do, but also start to add to your knowledge base. I will say the industry loves career changers because career changers bring life experience. So when they sit down and talk with, even as an intern, they sit down and talk with somebody, they bring their own life experience into that conversation.
Yep.
And it does help to put clients more at ease. It does maybe bring a different way of doing things. Hey, I came from a different industry and we did this. This might be useful here. So there is a real sense of, you know, the industry is really open to that. They'll kind of take you where you're at.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that you say that because I think it can't be underscored or highlighted enough that as a career changer, you bring so many transferable skills to the table that are valuable. It's just that, A, you're going to have to work to find that value amongst a firm in the industry that sees that and gets that, that's in alignment with what you want to do. And I think B is sometimes, and I've been kind of more emboldened to say this, to be a little bit more or a lot more confident in what you have and what you bring to the table. It's just that, you know, if somebody doesn't value that, it could be that this is not the best fit. And there's probably another firm or two or three or four out there that could potentially be a fit for you. I wonder when we're thinking about that.
Thank you for saying that, because yep. Sometimes people think, well, I've tried this. It didn't work for me. And that's one of the things that we've worked really hard. There's a program that was put out. A bunch of us had input on. Several of our colleagues packaged it and put it out that we call the 12 Tribes of Financial Planning. Hmm. And we're it's been added to our Diversitas website under resources. People can get to it there. If they want, they can go to YouTube and search for it there. I believe it's available out there. And it talks specifically, Dom, about that very issue of, just because you try it in one area, if it doesn't quite fit for you, that's not the only path into the, I like to call them on-ramp. It's not the only on-ramp into this industry, into this profession. There's 11 other avenues that we've identified
that you can
connect into, whether it is helping community and working for a nonprofit like a United Way, whether it's working for a bank in a branch, or whether it's working for a wholesaler and helping provide the tools to the advisor. So don't ever think there's only one place that you can use these skills, or there's only one path into this industry. There are a lot of different ways to use those skills.
No, I'm glad you said that. And we'll make sure we link that as a resource into the show notes. There's so much. I mean, I even think about me coming from, you know, my background, working in a hedge fund for 8 years and then transitioning into real estate for a little while and then going back and getting my 7 and my 6, 66 and my life and health. You know, I actually came to the RIA position that I got through a relationship, but I spent 6 years there. And we basically made that, I mean, the owner was introduced by me or introduced to me by a coworker that I'd known from another totally career path. And then we're sitting at the table writing out my job description, like, okay, I need this to be done. I don't really like to do this. Okay, could you do that? Okay. I mean, we're just really negotiating at the table. So it can definitely be done. It's just a matter of you getting in there and showing what your value could be. What if I were to tell you that you could spend 2 days with a veteran of the financial services industry that has connections with dozens of firm owners and has also answered hundreds of questions about making the leap into a career as a financial professional? What if I were also tell you that you could do this from the comfort of your laptop in an interactive virtual environment with a group of like-minded peers? Are you interested? You should be. I'd love for you to experience all of this, and you can when you register for the Career Changer Challenge happening October 29th and 30th. Now, during this time, I'm going to share with you the key elements on how to successfully navigate your journey from wherever you are currently, that's right, wherever you are currently, into a career in financial services. Look, my goal in the challenge is to help you find your place in this wonderful industry called financial services. No matter if you want to be a financial coach or a financial advisor, I just want to help you figure it out. And if you're not satisfied after attending the challenge, I'm going to give you your money back. So you have nothing to lose. All you need to do is go to www.jumpstartcoachinglab.com. And when you get there, click on the video that has my handsome mug on it. There's a lot on there, but the one that has my handsome mug that says, click on the register for the next challenge button and join me so I can share with you all the secrets to save both time and money when making the leap as a career changer. Okay, let's get back to the conversation. I love what you said earlier about career changers coming in with a different lens and just a different perspective on a problem that we may have in the industry or a way we're doing it. And we've just been in the industry so long, we're like, well, that's the way it's done. But a career changer comes and goes, like, why are you doing it like that? Did you know that this exists? So I love that you say that. And there's so much value. Let's talk about Diversitas. I want you to kind of – because a part of this is, you know, when we're talking about guiding the next generation of financial planners, what we know is at this point in time, whether you're looking at, you know, financial coaches or educators or counselors or planners or whatever you want to call yourself out there, there is underrepresentation for people of color, people of different, you know, backgrounds, let's just say broadly. And what we need to do to change that is obviously find the tools to expose diverse groups to what this profession holds and what they can do to help people and all those different things so that they just don't see one picture of this that's this suited up person behind a mahogany desk talking about investments all the time, because nobody wants to do that. I don't want to do that, and I'm in the industry, so let's talk about what Diversitas is doing and how that may expose this next generation to not only these great careers in financial planning, but also preparing them for the next level of skills, right? You know, the last 20 years in this industry is going to be, I think it's going to be really night and day to the next 20 years, right? Like there's a coaching component coming in, there's behavioral finance coming in. So talk a little bit about how Diversitas may be preparing the next generation.
Sure. As we look at it, and again, you touched on it so well, is that we are underrepresented in the industry across the board. Only 23% of CFPs are women, and that number has not moved over the last 8 years. It's the same number that the CFP board reported back in 2014 when they did their women's initiative. We see for African Americans, Asian Americans, other ethnic groups, that they're at least half represented in the industry as they are in the population. And so part of it is just openly talking about that. And so that's part of what we do with Diversitas, is the fact that, you know, as we talk through the things to encourage students and career changers to think about this industry, we want to expose them to the fact that it's a known problem in the industry. And the companies that sponsor us and the people that speak at our events and in our programs are openly addressing that. It's not something, hey, we'd like to do better. It's something we're saying, we're not there yet. How do we keep moving forward? And so part of that is bringing to the forefront folks, you know, there's certainly a representative piece of this of, you know, I feel more comfortable if I can see somebody that sitting there in a leadership role is seen as an expert in this area. And so part of us is part of what we're trying to do is make sure that those folks are visible, that they are seen in the industry. And whether it's Hispanic or African-American, for LGBTQ, that's an area that we don't even have statistics on how they're represented in the industry. Mm. That's not specifically being tracked. And so we just know it's very underrepresented. So that's one of the things. One is exposure. Two is just talking. We're unique in that we bring in this idea that we want career influencers in the room with us. And these are the people who have either formal or informal career advice, career direction responsibilities. It's the high school guidance counselors and the college academic advisors. It's high school teachers and principals. It might be pastors. It might be leaders of religious organizations, you know, certainly the Urban League or the NAACP. We'd love to see those folks coming in and listening and understanding that the bias that exists out there about what the industry is based on old stereotypes of they're all salespeople. I always think of, if I remember right, his name is Norm in the Groundhog Day movie. I don't know if you remember the insurance sales guy. And that's, you know, every scene he's doing something different for insurance sales. And it's like, you know, or the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
That those are the stereotypes that are out there. And we want to move people away from that to understand it's a helping profession.
Yeah.
That you have an opportunity to really impact a major area of people's lives. And so it's really education. It's about mentoring. It's about creating a careful understanding that there are programs like ours at Akron and our 24 other partner universities and many more beyond that are looking to join us, that they exist, and that we as the educational programs as a group through our survey work, and it's available on our website, we've shown just in the limited group that we've got that we're at least twice as diverse as the industry. Mm. And a lot of companies don't know about the financial planning programs and the students coming out of them. And the fact that if they started recruiting from us, there would be an organic improvement in diversity within the industry. So we're trying to share that. So again, it's about knowledge, education, mentoring. It's about human connection too. And part of what we're trying to do while we're a virtual program, we encourage our partner universities to consider hosting local events. We'll do that in February when we have our national symposium. We'll actually, it's an afternoon program. We'll have a morning program on the University of Akron campus. We're inviting in our friends at Ohio State University. They've got a great program. Penn West University in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, they've got a great program. We've got a couple of other smaller programs in the state of Ohio. We're about growing the industry. We want our partner universities to come in and join with us, but it's a chance to bring in these teachers and guidance counselors and academic advisors and others from the community to sit down across the table from folks like you who are advisors, who can talk about what a great job this is, what a great career, how much we get to help people, you know, help people set their goals and then reach them. Yeah. How often do we get to say that about our careers? It's that personal connection, that human connection. Yeah. You know, the industry has talked about doing it. We're trying to put a face on, let's get folks together so you can see that this stuff is actually happening. Is it happening quickly? Not as quickly as I'd like. Our numbers are improving very slowly. But if we don't start now, we'll never get there. And so that's really part of what we're looking at.
Well, it's that notion of, you know, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The next best time is today. Right? As an aspiring financial professional or career changer, I understand you have a lot on your plate, right? If you're not in classes or studying for a licensing exam or listening to a really cool podcast or attending a conference, you're always doing something. Trying to better yourself on this journey, right? Have you ever thought, I really wish there was a place I could be understood, a place where I could find my tribe and kind of talk about all the things that are going on with me during this journey? Well, there is such a place, my friend. It is the Jumpstart Community Roundup. Twice a month, you get the opportunity to share your wins, your losses, and basically whatever you need help with. It's a chance to kind of get encouragement and find accountability on your journey. And this is all included in your membership to the Jumpstart community. All you have to do is visit www.jumpstartcoachinglab for more information and to sign up. We'd love to hear your story and have you join us in this wonderful community of aspiring financial professionals. Okay, let's get back to the conversation.
Yes.
So I think, I love that. I would love to learn more and get involved. There's, you know, where I sit in the seat of consultant on the Jumpstart Coaching Lab side is seeing a lot of people that may find me through my YouTube channel or something like that. And they're like, hey, I didn't know this career really existed, or I didn't know it was like this. And can I learn more? We get a lot of that. And you touched on a couple of different things. I think what does get over, let's call it glamorized or Hollywooded, is the Wolf of Wall Street type of positions, and the annoying insurance salesperson, when that is, these are two, not necessarily polar opposites, but these are two extremes of an industry where actually, you know, most financial professionals that I know are really developing the relationship side of the client advisor interaction, and the investments, if you will, or the retirement plan, it's almost kind of like benign neglect, right? It's like we're doing the things that we should be doing. And okay, so how's the family? You know, I'm having way more of those type of conversations than I have of like, really, like, let's see how much Apple went up today. So I think people need to hear that. They need to know that, you know, this is an opportunity to change someone's family tree. Like the stress and the anxiety that people like relinquish and comes off of them. I've actually seen this. I've had a spouse tell me that I've noticed this in my wife since you guys have been working together. So like, we know the change that we can make is just really like really, really getting out there and publicizing that that's what we do. That's what this is about. It's about, you know, changing those family trees. So thanks for sharing that. I love that.
You're welcome. And I love the way you put that, you know, changing the family tree. I think of the whole idea of generational wealth. You know, as I started at the beginning of my story, I talk about the fact that I come from a poor family and was raised in a foster home. And so as my family has transitioned from my parents' generation to mine, there weren't a lot of assets. There wasn't a lot of family wealth that has been passed along. But my generation is developing more of that. And that's maybe one of the changes that we hope to see is that, you know, yes, there's been a lack of generational wealth, especially among the underserved communities in our country. How can we help them to start to generate, you know, generational wealth that in turn is going to get passed on and becomes more the norm rather than limited to a certain group or certain demographic.
Yeah. And I love what I'm seeing in this industry. There's a lot of good going on, even with the convergence of financial coaching with financial planning, and there's being a leveler playing field of the type of advice that you can give. And people don't always have to, you know, you don't have to go work for the broker dealer. You don't have to go down that route. You know, like we said earlier, there's so many different inroads into this. And really the kind of the sky's the limit. So as we bring this in for a landing, I want to ask you, we've talked about a lot of things, and I know you're a very, very deep well, from what I know about you. This is a podcast to empower tomorrow's financial professional with tools to serve their ideal client at the next level. In that context, what word or words of wisdom would you want to leave with that, with the audience, with that career changer that's maybe driving and listening to this and saying, "Okay, I think I'll do it." Barry and Dominique had a pretty good conversation to convince me. What would you say to them?
You know, I think it's a couple of things. One, understand where your passion is. One, understand what drives you. We're better able to serve those we serve, those we help, if we truly understand our motivations and our biases. And so work on yourself, too. If you're not there, and I use myself as an example, I've done a lot of personal work through the years. I've been part of a leadership group that we we explore ourselves as leaders. And I've been doing that for 25 years or more. So be willing to invest a little bit of time in yourself, but really kind of drive towards what are your driving motivations. Years ago, as I said, you know, I really came to understand that teaching is, you know, maybe one of my core pieces. And I truly get my greatest passion in teaching. And therefore, I'm probably a more effective teacher because I've aligned with that. There's a great little book if somebody's looking for, I just need that impetus to kind of figure that out. There's a book that was written probably 30 years ago by Parker Palmer. It's called Let Your Life Speak. It's just a little book, but it goes through that. How do you identify those who you truly are? What makes your life speak? And that's what I did. I worked through the process of that. There's a workbook that goes with that if you want it. But look for that Parker Palmer book or others like that that help you really to identify who you are. Because once you understand that, it allows you to address any things that are getting in the way for you. It allows you to set the stage then for better serving those you're going to help. So start there. And then, you know, be tied in with that passion. I get that sense in talking with you, Dom, is that you're passionate about what you're doing and that passion carries forward. And so if you've aligned with what's important to you and you're passionate about it, it's going to carry you where you need to go.
Yeah. I love that, man. Yeah. We're going to, soon as we close this up, I have some, you sparked another thing, but I want to respect your time and we'll talk about it offline, but yeah, it's, The I think you hit the nail on the head. I've used a framework with the career changers that I've consulted with the, you know, first find your why. You gotta hone in on your why. Your why will lead you to a who, and your who will inevitably lead you to the how. So it's like you have to start with that why, though. If you don't do the self-work, what motivates you? What wakes you up in the morning? What do you like about finance? Why are you leaving something where you've built up all this reputational and social capital over to this? Answer those questions. They may be hard, but I think they're going to be very useful. They also make for really great stories when you're talking to clients.
That's right. I love it. I love it.
Good stuff. Well, oh my gosh, this has been great. I'm so glad we connected. I'm so glad to have you in the network now. And you know, this is, I think one of the really, really great conversations for people that are wanting to kind of understand what this profession is like. I mean, when I'm kind of just like really rethinking what we just talked about, it's more of a marketing push, if you will, and a like a, hey, financial services career path, however you choose to go down it, is something that could be really, really rewarding. Forget what you've heard, these old stereotypes, and come learn what it really can be for you and the value that you can deposit in someone's life. I love it, man. I love it. So thank you so
absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. And I want to encourage folks to go check out our resource. Go to versitasfp.org is our website. And I know you'll put it in
definitely
your notes. But check out the resources page. That's the page I want to push people to. As you're exploring this, as your career changers and are thinking differently about this, go look at what we have there. It's all free. You have to sign up just so we kind of control people coming in just so we know who's accessing our materials. But we've got a lot of materials and it's constantly being built. All of our sessions that we've done virtually, and we do forums in between, go check those out. They're free for you to look at. They're all online, web-based. I think you may find tools there that would be helpful.
Love that. We'll definitely make sure that that's linked in the show notes. Well, we'll let you run. Thank you so much for the deposit, and you have a great one.
Great. Thanks, Don. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. I really hope you enjoy this conversation. Before we go, just a few things. The best way to retain what you just learned is to do more than just listen. You first might want to write down your most important takeaway and then give yourself a deadline to apply it. For bonus points, you might also let someone hold you accountable to that deadline. And remember, the only way more people will know about this podcast is if you share it. You can do that by sharing a link to this episode on your social media or by leaving a review on iTunes so that it reaches a wider audience. I'd appreciate if you took the time to do either or both. And finally, if you'd like to learn more about how Jumpstart can help you become a next generation financial professional, or partner with you in finding next generation talent for your organization, send us an email at hello@jumpstartcoachinglab.com, just in case you needed to get a pen to write that down. That's hello@jumpstartcoachinglab.com. Bye for now, until our next conversation.